If you want to make it to 25 or 40 or 50 years in your marriage, you've got to feed the fire. You know, that concept of putting fresh wood in the fireplace? It's going to go out if you don't put wood in there.
This just in from the sad but true department. Too many people are looking for someone to love them instead of looking for someone to love. You can look the world over and not find a better recipe for marital disaster. Hi everyone, I'm Dave Dino, and today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger concludes his powerful series, Keeping the Fire Hot at Home. We'll get started in just a few moments, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, in our open just now, I alluded to selfishness as being a surefire way to douse the flames of marital bliss. What would you say is the single greatest threat to a healthy marriage? I mean, is it in fact selfishness, or, well, is it something else?
Well, Dave, I think the greatest marital threat is the lack of spiritual focus within a marriage. When couples begin to let their priorities drift, where Christ is no longer the center of their relationship, the marriage begins to unravel. We need to make sure in our marriages that we are seeking first the kingdom of God. Of course, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said that, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added to you.
I'm sure that there are married people listening today who no longer spend much quality time with their spouses. Maybe they don't communicate well, maybe they don't communicate at all. These bad habits, I know, have a way of paralyzing us, even if we want to break free from them. What would you say to help encourage someone whose spirit is willing, but, well, whose flesh is weak?
Dave, there are times in life where we have to go for help. We need to go to pastors, counselors, friends that we can trust. There have been times in my life where I have found it incredibly liberating and powerful to get on what I would refer to as the hot seat. And what I mean by that is you simply get together with friends and you're in the middle, whether you're sitting, standing, kneeling, whatever physical position might be, but have those individuals stand around you and pray over you. Sometimes the enemy just comes over us and puts us in an emotional or a marital prison. And we need the power of prayer to set us free. I think of the story in the book of Acts where Peter was in jail and the church there was praying for him and he was set free. The power of prayer set him free. And so when we pray for a person, when we're prayed on, and I have experienced this firsthand, I felt the prison that I was in was opened and I was transformed by the power of my friend's prayers.
You know, there are all kinds of practical ways to keep the fire burning and to relight a fire that has gone out. Dwayne will share a few of them today in his message, Keeping the Fire Hot at Home. Let's listen in.
Well, I want to talk to you for a few moments about ways to keep your marriage hot at home. Here we go. Number one, I encourage you to celebrate your differences. Differences. Do you have differences between your husband and wife? Husbands, do you have a difference from your wife? Wife, do you have a difference from your husband? Hello, are you here? We are so different. Women like to read and watch romance and love stories. Men like to read or watch actions and sports. And men, as they grow up and mature, they start growing hair everywhere, and women start spending more hours with their hair, trying to arrange their hair. I mean, we're just different. Men are just trying to keep some of their hair. But in a good marriage, you learn to celebrate your differences. You don't make it a barrier. You don't make it a point of contention. You make it a point of celebration. You delight in each other, and you still accept and you love each other. What great confidence and comfort comes as you mature in your marriage and know that your spouse still loves you unconditionally. Secondly, I would say I love you often. You know, husbands, we think we say it enough. I mean, we're sort of like that old New Hampshire couple that were sitting out on the porch swing of life, and they were sitting there, and the wife said to her husband, honey, do you love me? And the husband says, yes, you know I love you. And the wife said, well, why don't you tell me more? He said, well, honey, I told you when we got married, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. What a horrible way to go through marriage, leaving the uncertainty and the fear, and certainly in our society today, not knowing what's going on in each other's minds, being so stimulated by sex in our society. We need to remind our spouses that, in fact, we do love them. Tell your spouse verbally, tell your spouse in writing, tell your spouse in giving material gifts. Find some way, something that communicates love to your spouse. You see, we need to learn the love languages. Maybe you need to read the book about the love languages. Some appreciate time, some appreciate words, some appreciate touch. Find out what your spouse's love language is. A third pointer on keeping the fire hot at home. Verbalize lifetime commitment. Lifetime commitment. Let me ask a question. Do you plan to stay together? If you do, say that to each other. And if you're uncertain, maybe you ought to start saying it together, because it will help convince you. It will help keep your commitment by saying, I am committed to you till death do us part. You see, you said it once. If you're married, you said it. Unless you somehow struck that line from your marriage vows, you did say it. Repeating your commitment builds confidence and strength. And in our world where divorce is so common, I encourage you to remove that D word from your hard drive, from your memory bank. Don't ever bring it up. Don't go there. You're in it for life. Verbalize your commitment. Number four, keep dating. Are you still dating your spouse? When is the last time you went out on a date together? I mean, it wasn't for a meeting, it wasn't for an appointment. You just said, let's you and I go out on a date. A husband and wife were laying in bed when a tornado came and swept them and their bed up into the air. They were flying through the air together in bed, and the wife began crying. The husband said, this is no time to cry. She explained, I can't help it. I'm so happy because this is the first time we've been out together in 20 years. You know, dating is an investment in your future together. Don't let money or the fact that you've been to that restaurant or that place before, don't let it stop your dating experiences. I wish sometimes some of you could sit in some way with couples that are going through counseling and going through separation, brokenness, and divorce. I wish you could hear the heartache. I wish you could hear the tears. I wish you could feel the heaviness in the room. I wish somehow you could be there to help hold up the heart and the hands of the pain of that brokenness. In talking with individuals and reading about it, they will tell you they would much rather stay in a relationship with the difficulties than go through the hardship and the difficulties of a divorce. I had somebody, even as recent as yesterday, tell me, they told me it would be much easier to have stayed in that relationship than to go through the ongoing difficulties of passing the children back and forth, and the chaos of the schedule, and the awkwardness of seeing that person again, and trying to find somebody else in a relationship. I want to encourage you to keep dating now. See, it leads to the next thing, number five, do little things for each other. Do little things for each other. If you want to make it to 25 or 40 or 50 years in your marriage, you've got to feed the fire. You know, that concept of putting fresh wood in the fireplace? It's going to go out if you don't put wood in there. What is the wood that you need to put in your relationship? What do you need to add? In a book written by Willard Hartley called His Needs, Her Needs, if I remember correctly, he introduced to me for the first time in my life a concept that is so vivid. He calls it the love bank. And I don't have time this morning to go into detail about that. But he says, basically, when you are introduced to somebody and you begin to like them, an account, mentally, an account is opened in your heart with their name on it. And every time you interact and there's positive interaction, a deposit goes into that account. And that account begins to build. And after a while, you have interest developing. With me? You understand? Interest is developing. And the account begins to increase. And then you go out on dates together. And now you're making big deposits in that love bank. And soon there is so much in that love bank under that person's account. You start talking about future together and marriage. And you're always getting dressed up nice. You're always doing fun things. There's experiences. And so there are just huge deposits. And then you get married. And over the coming weeks and years, the amount of deposits, intentionally made deposits, diminishes, while the literal little things of life act as withdrawals. The little differences of how you act at home, caring or uncaring, leaving clothes laying around, being a little messy, unkept, or, you know, just not respectful. They are not huge holes in a marriage, but there are little holes in your money bank or your account that start letting out withdrawals. And this constant little withdrawals in your relationship without major deposits or efforts to make deposits will eventually leave a relationship bankrupt. It'll have no money in the bank. And there are stages specifically that actually have been evaluated in society and culture. At the marriage at 7 years. Of course, that's changing now in our society. 7 years was a mark in which a lot of couples went through marriage troubles. Then 14 or 15 years, couples went through marriage troubles. And it was because they stopped making marital deposits, but there was ongoing tiny withdrawals. And ended up having nothing left in their quote-unquote love banks. And so I want to encourage you, keep doing little things to make deposits in each other's love banks. Another thing, take care of yourself. Men and women can become like animals at home. I don't mean exciting. I don't mean sexy. I mean unkept. Unpresentable. Greasy hair, unshaven, body odor buildup. I mean, it's just those things. We're human and we go through those things. But I want to encourage you, take care of yourself. Clean up. Dress up. And your marriage may be refreshed by those kind of things. Number 7, work on inner qualities. No amount of outer beauty makes up for inner ugliness. You know that? If you nag, complain, pick, or find fault, you are acting like a wrecking ball to your marriage. Every time. You're destroying what God has been trying to build and what you have invested in all these years. When Chris Spielman played for the Buffalo Bills, he was everything a middle linebacker should be. He was tough, he was strong, he was passionate, he was powerful. He played the entire 1995 season with a torn pectoral muscle. But football took second place in 1998. He chose to stay at home. He cooked, he cared for his children, he took complete care of his wife Stephanie, who was struggling with breast cancer. During her struggle with surgery, chemo, nausea, Chris was at her side day and night. When asked by the newspaper if he'd considered returning to football, Spielman said, "I'd play in a heartbeat. But what kind of a man would I be if I backed out of my word to Stephanie? I wouldn't be a man at all." You see, friends, football saw Spielman as a man because of what he did on the football field. But what really makes him a man is what he did at home for his wife and his children. That's where the real male model was demonstrated. Next, take time to communicate every day. Take time to communicate every day. Do you know what? Marriages just don't die. They suffocate. They shrivel up from lack of communication and lack of love. Don't underestimate the value of detailed communication every day. I think perhaps the best illustration of learning how to do that is learning or knowing what nurses do when there's a change of shifts. They have all their charts, they have all their documentation of what's going on with the patient. And when there's a change of shift, that nurse will literally sit down and communicate up to date, perhaps even minute by minute, the scenario or the case of that patient so that this new nurse coming on duty knows right where to pick up. That is a great model for us to follow in our marriages. I must confess, I have often thought that I need to keep a 3x5 card in my pocket during the day. Often, not only do I don't remember what happened in my day, but I often, honestly, don't even want to go back and visit it. I want to leave it and go on. But the importance of communicating to my spouse, I'm realizing, is huge. So if I must take a 3x5 card and keep it in my pocket, and every so often stop and write down what happened just so that I can communicate to her, you see, I'm communicating that I value her. I love her, I appreciate her, I include her in my world, into my life, then I must carry that card and I must write it down for her sake. I want to encourage you, communicate. Another one, keep your expectations low. We are all broken, wounded people. How could we expect a perfect marriage if we're not perfect? How about lowering our expectation from a perfect marriage to, let's shoot for a good marriage? Isn't that a good idea? Let's go for a good marriage. You see, there might always be something or even someone better, maybe we think in our mind, that greener grass syndrome. Somebody's better out there. But you see, I've already made a commitment to this one. I'm already in a marriage to this spouse. I can't even let my mind go there. I can't even wonder. I've got to stay here and keep my expectations right here because this is what God expects of me. Another thought, keep your spiritual life in order. It was God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. We are, first of all, spiritual beings, though. And focusing on our spiritual growth and development will make the biggest difference in your marriage. If you're struggling in your marriage, I would suggest that seeking God and growing spiritually will help you overcome that marital difficulty. I've learned that my marital intimacy is a reflection of my spiritual intimacy. Did you get that? I want you to get that. I want to say it again. I have realized that my marital intimacy is a reflection of my spiritual intimacy. And as goes my spiritual intimacy, often will go my marital intimacy. And if I'm finding that there's tension and frustration and distance growing up between me and my spouse, it is often a reflection of what's happened between me and my relationship with God. God made marriage to be a braid, 3 strands. And often we try to do it without Him, and every time we try to do it without Him, we end up getting twisted. We can't make a braid without God. But when we add God, that third critical element to a braid, it's beautiful. It was His design. I just want to add one more thing to that list, and that is, be a good forgiver. Be a good forgiver. Unforgiveness will destroy a marriage every time. Be a good forgiver. Ruth Bell Graham said, a good marriage is the union of 2 forgivers. There are 3 kinds of marriages. There are marriages that blow up. Oh boy, and are they ugly. There are marriages that give up. They just get tired of going through the battle and they throw in the towel. And then there are marriages that keep up. And my whole purpose today for sharing this message is that you'd be the third one, that you'd be a marriage that would keep up. No, I know we can't do it in our strength. That's why God asks us and invites us to seek Him. We find all that we need in Him. There are 3 T's to top off your marriage today. It's sort of like the cherry on top. I hope you are envisioning some new things that will make your marriage delicious, and maybe you're envisioning a big ice cream sundae. Let me put some cherries on top here as we finish. Three T's to top off your marriage. Number one, think, think, think. It's easy to develop faulty thinking about your spouse. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, men, women, I think it would be safe to say that there would be many things in those categories that you could come up with if you'd stop and think about your spouse. Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things. I was feeling under conviction writing this sermon, thinking all these things, and oh my goodness, I mean, my spouse is just, oh my goodness, all the things she does. And I thought, man, I earn the majority of our income, but she does everything else. I got to get with it. I got to get busy. I need to keep going. Secondly, not only think, but secondly, thank. Ephesians, Paul said, Ephesians 4:20, always give thanks. Start giving God thanks for your spouse and start giving thanks to your spouse for what he or she has done. Which is number three, tell. Tell. Think, thank, and tell. Tell your spouse what you appreciate, that you are thankful about them. Tell your spouse. You know, they might think you've gone crazy momentarily there. Where did all this come from? But I believe verbally telling your spouse and giving her that verbal bouquet will be a great blessing in your relationship.
The secret to a healthy marriage is the worst kept secret in the world. You see, there's no mystery to it. Just give a show and tell demonstration of love to your spouse every day. For more insights about the marriage relationship, let's join our director now, Don Schenk, in studio with Dwayne. Fellas.
Dwayne, in theory, it all sounds fine, and it, in fact, looks kind of simple if you lay it all out, how to keep your marriage good and strong. But, you know, what about the times when you've perhaps had a stressful day, you've been under pressure? For one reason or another, there are times when we just don't feel like showing our love. You know, this show and tell just doesn't come easily.
I think we must recognize that, first of all, it's an obedience issue. We are obedient to God. When we made the marital commitment, we made a covenant to our spouse. We made a covenant before God. And we delete the D word, divorce, from our hard drive. But I think when we don't feel loving and caring, we need to go to the source, which is God. He's the one who created and designed marriage. He is the source of love. And so when we're not feeling that, we don't feel like doing the show and tell thing you've mentioned, we need to say, God, I don't have what I need to love my spouse like I should.
Dwayne, I know that last week you mentioned the importance of praying together with your spouse. And earlier in the program today, you talked about getting in the hot seat and having people gather around to pray over you. Now, what if we don't have the people that around us? What if we don't have a pastor we can go to or a support group that we can go to and say, we're facing this problem. I need you to gather around me and pray for me.
If we don't have somebody that we feel confident to go to, there are some practical steps we can take. We can implement the spiritual habits in our own life of bumping up our prayer life, adding prayer and fasting, and asking God to break whatever it is, this stalemate, this marital stagnation that is in our relationship, and ask Him to bring something fresh and new. And if we will simply avail ourselves to the Christian bookstores, there is many, many books and study guides, even on the area of marriage. And often it's not necessarily that it's such a hard thing. We just have to overcome the feelings and emotions and do what we know to be right. We can't let our feelings be the engine of the train. We must make the decisions and the choices and let our feelings and our emotions about our spouse be the caboose, be the last car on the train. When we get the train on the track, get it rolling, falling, doing the things that we're supposed to, the feelings will come right along. Sure enough, the fire will be there.
Good word, Dwayne. And when you mentioned get the train rolling, I'm excited about a train we've got rolling in India. A couple months ago, we started promoting our Radios for India project, and a number of people have really gotten behind that. It's exciting to be able to provide a radio to someone in India who doesn't have access to the Word of God. And we have many remote areas in India where people live in poverty. And we have received numerous letters from people in India who have heard our program, a relative's radio when they were somewhere visiting or on a friend's radio, and they've written in to ask for more information. They're excited about what they hear. They're challenged and touched in their heart. There's also a little bit of a cloud hanging over me today, and that has something we've been talking about all month here on this program. We are facing a financial crisis, and we're feeling a little bit neglected in in other areas. We're at the point now where we are looking at our broadcasts here in the U.S. and evaluating the stations that we're on and the response that we're getting to analyze that and to make a determination of which ones can we afford to keep on the air. So friends, if you're listening today, if you really, if you enjoy this ministry, or if you should just share the passion that we have, help them grow in their Christian faith. I invite you to give an extra gift this month. And if you're listening today, you're not a regular contributor, I'd invite you just to put that in your budget once a month. Send us a contribution, and it will help us to keep this ministry going.
Radio is a powerful vehicle for driving away unbelief. And your gifts are the fuel that keeps it running. To make a donation of $25 or more to provide a shortwave radio to a village in India, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Come and do this with us. That's 1-877-5484. And when you contact us, be sure you ask how you can receive a subscription to the Tide broadcast. Now, that's right. All it takes is one phone call to receive in CD format every single broadcast of the Tide for the entire year. Call. Now, as always, today's program is available for a gift of any size. The title, Keeping the Fire Hot at Home. To receive your copy, call and ask for tape or CD number 0424. Or send your request to The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L41A6. To find out how you can help us share the gospel, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, there's no power on earth like a father's love. And next week on The Tide, and I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for listening in to The Tide, a ministry that ensures worldwide.